Let's finish up where we left off last hour about this theory that Jesus wasn't real, but he was a sacred mushroom. What the heck is that all about?
Well, the idea that Jesus survived the cross by taking sacred mushrooms and went back to the east where he had spent some time was based on the Talmud Emmanuel. However, if you remember, Jesus' younger brother was Judas Didymus Thomas. The Didymus part was to indicate the fact that he was the look-alike little brother of Jesus. And if you actually use the more famous of the texts, or the larger, in fact, it's the largest apocryphal text in history in our possession today, the Apocryphal Acts of Thomas, it is a story of Thomas's post-crucifixion mission to India, where he died. In fact, Eusebius, the famous archbishop under Constantine, preserves for us a letter dictated or written by Jesus telling the royal family members of the East that he will not return or could not return but would send another in his place. The one that he sent in his place was his look-alike little brother, who was often mistaken for Jesus in the East. However, the rumors that Jesus survived the cross and went back to the East are probably predicated on the fact that his look-alike little brother went back to the East, died later in his life, and that's where all these stories came from, rather than Jesus surviving the cross itself.
Were they symbols? The talk of mushrooms, and because they've also said Santa Claus was one.
Well, Santa Claus is another story entirely. We need to save that one for Christmas.
Yeah, that's a different show.
Okay. Jordy, may I?
We've done that show once before, and we'll do that one again. But probably William would have a better description of that.
Yeah, may I jump in here for a quick moment,
yes,
George?
Yes, you may. We're going to go free flow this hour too,
yeah.
So feel free to jump in.
This is really key because the primary person behind the story of the sacred mushroom and the cross is John Marco Allegro, a Dead Sea Scrolls scholar who was appalled at the treatment of the Dead Sea Scrolls by conventional scholars who sought to withhold these documents from the mass of humanity for scholarly purposes, jealousy, this sort of thing. Well, so Allegro is the one who primarily is the translator of what's known as the Copper Scroll. This is thought to be the text, the manuscript that the Templars were operating from when they went to Jerusalem in search of the treasure of Solomon's temple. So after Allegro publishes his manuscripts on the Copper Scroll, the scholars all of a sudden start rejecting him, and he says, well, you know what? I've also been looking at these other texts that say that Christos, Christ, is in fact a substance, a psychedelic substance.
Uh-huh.
And so he publishes his book, The Sacred Mushroom and the Cross, and this becomes, of course, a very controversial book in and of itself. And, you know, there's a tremendous amount of research that goes to sustain this notion that Jesus is a man. Christ is something else altogether. Now, whether Christ is, which is a Greek term meaning anointed, refers to an oil, a substance, an essence, a vibration, that's the direction that most of this research is pointed towards. And in fact, the Templars used a Rosicrucian symbol of the lily, the flower of light, to represent this enlightenment teaching associated with Jesus. And in fact, the Rosicrucians portrayed Jesus as a blue lily emerging from the cross. The blue lily in ancient Egypt was a narcotic.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
And so here we have this idea then, once again, that the Templars are privy to some kind of a extraordinary and, in fact, exotic teaching. And allegorically, metaphorically, this also accounts for their name, the Templars, because it actually refers to the real temple, which is the human brain, which sits in between the temples. And so what they had apparently had access to was a means of triggering latent powers within not only our DNA, but also within our brain itself. And this helps to account for the extraordinary leap in virtually evolution that the Templars were pushing. They were attempting to create a new kingdom of heaven on earth in which each individual would have access to life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. And this is how the real Templar treasure gets enfolded into not only the Constitution, but also the Declaration of Independence itself.